Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. Today, Savina Donoghue sat down with Sheila Courtney from the Virginia Historical Society to find out more about the ancient Virginia brooch. Sheila has been instrumental in ensuring the brooch is maintained for future generations and has a wealth of knowledge about this incredible Cavan artifact. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
Hi, Sheila. It's lovely to have you here with me today. And it's lovely to be finding out something about the Virginia brooch. Can you tell us just a little bit how it was discovered or why it's connected with Virginia? Of course, the name tells it, but can you tell us a little bit more?
Thank you, Savina. Yes, I can. Back in 1988, when we set up the Virginia Credit Union, there was a lady who worked with us. She was Bridget Murphy from Lislea, Virginia, that is Mara area. And she was the first person who told me about this brooch.
Okay.
Now, her story was that in the end of the 19th century, somebody who was working close to Woodward's Island discovered this in turf.
In turf, yes.
Well, yeah. That's the only time I heard it was in turf it was found. And you know, because it's 19.7 centimetres in length and 11.4 in width, you'd say, how could that fit into a sod of turf?
Yes.
I'm not saying it was in sods of turf. It could just have been in, you know, the residue left over.
And of course, after. We know that turf is a wonderful way of preserving.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It is. So anyway, this brooch was a silver brooch, and we believe it dates back to the 800s or thereabouts.
Okay.
Now, it's a penannular brooch. That means it is circular, but has a division. The circle is not complete. There are 8 bosses on the brooch, a boss being a bump.
Okay.
And it is thought that they divided motifs from each other.
Yes, so it's very ornate brooch.
It's very ornate, but of course it resembles the Tara brooch, but isn't nearly as ornate as the Tara brooch, but it certainly is based on the Tara brooch. Now, there's Scandinavian motifs on it, and we can't interpret those.
Okay.
Those motifs, but they are between these bosses.
And then the penicular, the surround, as you said,
yes.
And the bosses, is there anything going through it, or is there?
There is a pin, yes.
Yes.
Yes, a pin to attach it. It was to attach a woolen cloak.
Oh, yes. So yeah, it would have been worn as a...
Yes. And it was usually worn by a chieftain or some dignitary at some formal occasion. It wouldn't be worn every day, say.
So it would be worn by someone who would be very important,
yes,
then.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's similar to the Tara brooch, but not nearly as ornate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as I say, we can't interpret the Scandinavian motifs that are between those bosses.
But what a wonderful find.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't know who found it, but Bridget Murphy was the person who introduced me to it. And for a long number of years after 1988, there was no talk about it. So when it came to celebrating 400 years of Virginia, I was invited to join the book committee. I was not a member of the Virginia Development Association, but I was invited to come along to help with the history. And I said we just had to incorporate it into our celebration. So what we did was we we actually had it superimposed on one of the zeros, the first zero of the 400.
Oh, very nice. So you used that kind of as a logo for the 400-year celebration.
And we called it Virginia, the Virginia Brooch.
Oh, that's really nice, yes.
Yeah, yeah, very, very good.
I remember that, and when I worked in the museum, I was quite involved because we brought the Virginia Brooch to the museum.
Yes, well, that was for the 400.
That's right,
I remember you texting or emailing me to ask me for information on it.
Yes.
You know, and at that stage, of course, I had become very excited about it because it was, to me, a great find.
Yes, and it certainly was a magnificent
treasure to have as our brooch.
Yes.
You know.
And when we brought it to the museum that time, and I know I worked very closely with you in Virginia to make that happen.
Yes.
We had it for 3 weeks.
You had indeed. And I mean, thousands must have come to see it.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic to be able to view it close up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it had to go back to the National Museum. And that was kind of a sad day, the day it went back, if I'm sure you felt the same.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have it around Virginia, but of course that's not possible.
No, unfortunately not, no.
Safe place just to
It's regarded, of course, as a national treasure. And any of these national treasures have to be in the National Museum.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't proper security.
You know,
I mean, the Tower Brooch is in the museum.
Yes.
So also is our brooch. So it's the only place.
Well, hopefully someday, because I know at Cavan County Museum, everything is in place, but it's a big thing to get it released. But anyway, that's hopefully, we can hope for that maybe.
Well, we look forward to it.
We would look forward. Can I just ask you, Sheila, and I've been, before our conversation, I was interested, why are you so interested in history? And
well, I'll tell you, it goes back to my days teaching. I didn't actually like history as a subject in school. And when I started to teach, I decided there had to be another way to teach history other than the way I was taught.
Yes.
Series of dates and battles and so on and so forth. And before the Department of Education decided on local history, I was doing local history. You may remember that I used to take my students out on field trips.
I absolutely do remember that, yes.
And the my interest stems from finding a way to make history interesting. You know, if you start with the local, then you can go to the national and the international. When in school, we were learning history, national history and international history, but we didn't know anything about the local history. So I used to take my students out every single year to places of historical interest, and we compiled a little history of the historical places around Crosholagh, and the kids lived for the day when we go on our outing.
And listening to you now, and I remember those days, it's almost like as if you were lifting history off the pages.
Yes.
And making it hands-on.
Yes, absolutely.
And what a wonderful way to teach history or to learn history.
Absolutely.
Or to pass it on, which is really important.
Yeah. Well, since I have retired, many students, many past students contact me to find out about some of the places we visited and to see where my booklet was available. But I did leave copies of it in both the parochial house and the school now. I'm not sure that they're still there. But people do contact me and they say that they choose to do a project in history in secondary school because of the interest that was instilled into them at primary school.
And Sheila, it's almost as if you were planting the seeds of interest in your students' minds. And how better to to start at the local level.
Yes.
And learn what's around you, as you say. And it's so true.
It is.
And just like the, around now in Virginia where you live, the history there, I think Virginia is full of history.
It is full of it, absolutely. I mean, I love every bit of the history of Virginia. Love it, absolutely. And I'm involved in the Historical Society, as you know. And the occasional time I give a talk on history, and I just love it.
Yeah, and you can actually feel it as I listen to you. I can feel your interest and your love of it. And, you know, in terms of the future, and I know at one stage they were talking maybe of taking history off the curriculum.
Oh, which would be criminal. It would be just so wrong to do it.
Yes.
We need to know who we are, where we came from.
And what you're doing in your interest. And you can have an interest and it can be a very academic interest. And that's good too. But to bring it down to the, you know, the people, you can make it so not so academic that people can enjoy it.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's a gift, isn't it?
Exactly, yes.
And would you see yourself in that role as maybe doing some field trips as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she did ask me, would I take students around the town? And I said, of course I will. And now they explain the history of the town and its origins to them.
Yes. Yeah. So I suppose now I want to bring you a little bit back to the Virginia brooch because, it's what we're talking about today and it's so, so very, very, very interesting. Were there ever any replicas made of it, do you know? Or is it?
No. During the 400 celebrations, we attempted to get replicas made and the cost was exorbitant, so we didn't progress it.
Yeah, it was very, very...
It is a pity.
Yes.
But you just need to get so many copies made.
Yes.
It would be a very expensive project and we didn't see any way that we could afford it.
I am aware that some artists did some drawings of it. And then, of course, there's a lovely replica in the town.
Yes.
And that's, you know, for that people can see that there.
That's true,
and that's in a prominent place. And that's good.
It is. It is. It makes people interested.
Yes. And it gives them a good idea of how it looked.
Yes.
And they can see it. You've described it very well, Sheila, how it looks and how it was used for and all of that. And I'm just curious, too. The Vikings were in Virginia.
Yes.
What about them, boys?
Well, you see, we don't know a lot about them. The plan with the Vikings was to raid monasteries where there were precious books, chalices, vessels, etc., wealthy treasures. And we know that they came because, well, number one, their influence is on that brooch.
Okay.
Now, it is believed that they came and liaised with the Gelenja and the Lugni, who were warlike tribes that sort of lived around the Boyne Valley, not specifically Loch Ramor, but they were warlike people. And it is thought that the Norsemen or Vikings linked up with them. Now, Muil Seachtain of Meath defeated this group around Woodward's Island.
Okay, and that's where the brooch was found.
And that's where the brooch was found. So, I mean, they had to have lived there for a period and discovered the Tara brooch and had time to craft this brooch, you know.
Yes.
So we don't have any information on them being around Virginia as it now is, but they did come up the River Blackwater. That's how they travelled. They found out where monasteries were. And since Brandove and Colum were... We think on Woodward's Island in the early years of Christianity, and they certainly had a church. Now, it says on one of the islands of Loch Ramor, but it obviously was on Woodward's. And their church was plundered by the Vikings. You see, they sailed up the rivers and...
It's hard to imagine, Sheila, that the Vikings were around Virginia, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard to imagine. But there's not much record of them. We do know that we're there, but we we don't know that they murdered people, or which was their custom. Yes. They sailed up in their longboats and they jumped out and raided the monasteries and plundered what they could get. And they did actually massacre some of the religious in the monasteries in their attempt to find the treasures.
So I have to go back now. I think Virginia is the most beautiful place.
It is.
You know, and it is so much. The lake.
Oh, it has the so forest, much to offer.
Hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Its location.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But I'm intrigued, Sheila, with your knowledge, but how important our history is, how much you've expressed that in your sharing with us, and how important it is to pass it on to the next generation, that we don't lose that.
Very important. So we, as I say, we endeavour to involve the school children, and actually the primary school in Virginia is very open to it also, and occasionally we take them out for a walk and a talk on history. We take them to the forest, various places like that. But now we're getting involved with the post-primary students, and that's pretty good now. I'm very pleased about that.
But what a wonderful way for the children to learn. What a wonderful way for people to be involved with the children and passing on the history, passing on the knowledge, because that's really important that we do that.
Very important. Very important.
So going forward, what do you think how we can bring the Virginia brooch to life now for the children of today?
Well, I suppose we just need to do projects on it with the children in both primary and Virginia College, and explain it to them.
And people and children maybe around Cavan, you know, that...
Oh, yes. It doesn't just belong to Virginia. It's a national treasure, really.
Yes.
And it should be known about in throughout Cavan.
Yes, I really think so. To let other people know that we do have a national treasure of such importance in the National Museum. Now, we did have it in Cavan for a while. We'd love to have it back in Virginia all the time. And I suppose that's something that you could work for the future.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good project to embark on. And I mean, I'm always happy to get involved in anything like that.
Yes.
So I don't know where you'd start. As you probably know, the school curriculums are full to the brim. And I recall myself, you know, getting literature and went to the bin straight away. You didn't have time to look at it, never mind deal with it. You know, so...
But as a former teacher, you'd be very aware of the, I suppose, all the teachers have to do and all they have to deal with in a day. But that would help you in working with the schools, I am sure.
Yes.
That you'd be so aware of what it's like and how busy they are. And
well, you have to always remember that they have to teach the school subjects, first of all, and then whatever time they have left, they can divide it out according as they see fit.
Yes.
As the management see fit, you know. But we would be more than happy to promote the Virginia brooch in any school in Cavan that's interested.
Because there's a wealth of history, as you just told us this morning, around, you know. I have to go back to one thing that you said earlier, that it was found in a piece of turf. And I'm bursting to ask, would that have been placed, or is that within the turf? Was that do you think?
I'm not sure, because the person who found it is obviously long deceased.
Yes.
So, I mean, Bridget Murphy was the first person who told me about it. And she didn't know who that person was either. But she had heard it and she latched onto it because she was interested.
Yes.
And when we mentioned it in 1988, nobody in Virginia knew of its existence.
Well, then what a good job you've done
Well, you see, I won't take credit for that start. We brought out a little booklet when we set up the credit union. And on the back page, we had an image of the brooch and a little bit of its history. And that was handed out to customers in the credit union.
Okay.
So that's where it all started.
Well, you know, Sheila, it's a fascinating story. I'm fascinated to learn more about the Virginia brooch. I'm fascinated, and I think it's really important that people like you and your society, historical societies, do the work you do. It's really important.
Well, we do our best, you know. We run regular talks, and we try our best, you
okay.
know. And it's so important to get the young people interested.
Absolutely.
And our clientele, I must say, at these talks is mainly older
yeah.
people.
Yes.
You know, you don't get too many of the younger people. So
if people wanted just, you know, our listeners, if they wanted to get in touch and find out some more about the Virginia brooch, how could they do that?
They could contact us.
In the society, yes.
Society.
Okay.
You know, and we'd be happy to help out in any way we could.
Yeah, that's really great. Look, Sheila, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a wonderful story. I know I will want to find out more about the Virginia brooch. And I thank you for sharing your knowledge with us here today.
Thank you, Savina.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like, leave a review and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, slán go fóill.